members, 8:15, having arrived, we will call the Education Finance meeting to order, and we already have a quorum. So I would entertain a motion to approve yesterday's minutes for January 15th, 2013. We have a Representative Erickson.
Mr. Chair, I approve those minutes.
Representative Erickson moves to approve the January 15th, 2013 minutes. Any discussion? Representative Hertaus.
Excuse me, I was just going to second that motion.
Very good. I don't think we actually have to second motion.
I realize
here,
that,
but
no.
Do you have a city or county background?
Mayor.
Yeah. Yes, I am. Yesterday I asked Shannon if we had to second motions as a former mayor. Yes, but we do not. So
yes.
I'm with you on that.
Thank you.
Hearing no discussion, we'll call for the vote on the January 15th, 2013 minutes approval. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say nay. The motion carries. The minutes are approved. At this time, I would ask members to start your laptops. And we will see how this works. If we start getting all sorts of interference, we'll play around with it and see what we have to do. But I think a number of you have the computers up, and so far, so good. One of the main focuses of this committee as we proceed is going to be to direct resources and focus on data-driven, track record-proven strategies and efforts that will provide results and increase value, not only to the taxpayers, but to the education system, especially in regards to improving student performance and closing the achievement gap. And yesterday we talked quite a bit about that. And you know, we have a lot of data in education. And we have this data that we can use to see if, as students improve, we can see our strengths in our system, our weaknesses in our system. And what's really great about the Minnesota Department of Education website is that it is very transparent. And whether or not you're a parent, a teacher, administrator, citizen member, you have the data to look at and see what your district and your community is doing as far as achievement gap, graduation rates, MCA and grad test results, how you compare, and all of that. So today's meeting, what I'd like to do is have the department go over the website and all the data. I know there's going to be a number of questions. I want to make sure they get through everything. And so I'm going to ask, and I know this is going to be tough for members, including myself, to refrain from any questions unless it's just something that they just did that you don't understand. But I'd like to ask or have all the questions that deal with how do you get to this or what's included in that at the end. So, and I think we'll have for sure a good half hour, and if we have to go some more on another day, we will. But I'd like the department to go through the presentation. So, right now we have Ms. Sheridan and Mr. McHenry, and I will have you guys introduce yourselves, but welcome for being here, and I'm looking forward to a very interesting day. So please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members, Kevin McHenry, Department of Education. I just wanted to thank you and the committee for having the opportunity for us to come before you to present, to walk through the data center and talk about our website. I'm going to turn it over to Ms. Sheridan here briefly, but I did want to start off just saying part of one of the things we did at the Department of Education was redesign the website. Part of the seven-point plan of the commissioner and the governor was to have a better Department of Education. So one of the things we'd like to do is make sure that our website is a little bit easier to use for parents, for students, for interested individuals. And part of this website is specifically focused just on all of the data that you can collect on students and on schools. So with that, we just wanted to say thanks again. We look forward to working with you all throughout this session. And I'm going to turn it over to Ms. Sheridan to do a walkthrough of our data center.
Welcome, Ms. Sheridan. And if, first of all, you tell us, how do we get to this site?
How you get to the site, you can Google Minnesota Department of Education, or you can get to us by education.state.mn.us. And it should take you to the main page that you see up on the screen. So, there, as he said, there was a redesign process. And just so you know that we brought in six different focus groups to offer opinions and voice to us what type of data and information they wanted to find on our website. And we brought in parents, we brought in representatives, we brought in special interest groups, teachers, administrators, special ed directors, and through their feedback, we fashioned the new website. And you'll see that it isn't just focused only for school people anymore. It is, there's a focus for parents, there's that focus for students, for teachers, and then, as he said, a very comprehensive data center. So we'll start walking through that. The first place that I would like you to look at is Welcome to MDE. And there's some very important information in here. The first one that I'd like to highlight is the advisory boards. If you have looked for any of the NCLB waiver information, this is where you will find that. By scrolling down on the left-hand side, you will find No Child Left Behind waiver work group. By going there, you will see that we have a document download. That is where you actually get the documents that have been posted by the work group. Oftentimes, we have a short statement or one or two sentences that describe what the document is about. The other big piece that you should know is at the end of almost every page on the bottom of the left-hand navigation, there is contact information. And we're working very hard to make sure that that gets you to the correct person or the person who knows about this information and can help you access what you need very quickly. So you don't often find the general MDE contact us number. Here you would directly go up to NCLB and get the right person that can answer the questions about this page. So that is an important tool to use. Back under the MDE, Welcome to MDE heading, a new application that we have is called Schools and Organizations, and we refer to it as MDE.org. There is, if you ever have time or your spare time, a 51-minute video that talks about the power behind MDE.org. But we're actually going to enter the MDE.org site. And what can you find here? You can find lists of schools and districts. So if I go into schools and districts, you'll see that I can get a comma-separated value file that lists all the schools and districts, addresses, phone numbers, emails. You can get education districts. You can get people who have flexible learning year contracts. So let's just go and look at what would happen if we download the CSV file. And what I get here is a list by district name, their type, you know, who they are, what district, their mailing address, and from here you can print mailing labels and merge it into your letters that you need to send out. But what if I want to know about my legislative district? We have legislative and congressional district information here. So here are all the districts and schools that are in District 1A. So this is a new feature that we have added. And contact information, usually for the superintendent at that school, and a phone number as well. Now this one, you notice, looks a little different. So to get out of here, on the left-hand navigation, you would use Return to MDE Site. And that should take you back to the main website. Right. The other piece that's important in here is the Office of the Commissioner. If you want to get to information from Commissioner Caselius, if you want to link to the 7-point plan. Just for Parents was a section that we added because we really did not do a good job of providing information for parents. And so we've really beefed this up. And one of the most important parts that we have is this Find a School or Public Library. So this would have been handy when I wanted to move here because I wanted all-day kindergarten for my daughter. So I was looking at moving to zip code 55082. No. And I'm going to scroll down just a little bit. You know what? I want to find programs in a 10-mile range of that zip code that have full-day kindergarten. My red X is a geographical center, and I can now find out that, oh, Stillwater Public School District, these schools have full-day kindergarten. And you can see on my map that that is the purple boundary. That's the Stillwater District. And then you notice that Matamidi shows up, and that is the yellow boundary right here. We have North St. Paul in the blue. And then the green district, if I scrolled down, would be South Washington County. So I can see schools that offer full-day K within that radius.
Ms. Sheridan, this was under Just for Parents?
This is Just for Parents. Find a school or public library.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. And you can also choose by programming options at the junior high or at the high school level as well. Now, these are reported by districts through their staff development reports, so that's how we collect the information on those offerings. Another important piece on Just for Parents that we know they like to have is the teacher license lookup. So if you wanted to look up information on teachers, talking about, you know, what options there are, what information is there, here's where you would find that. The other big one, of course, for parents is testing information. What tests do my students take? Where can I find information to help them? And this is where we have some fact sheets, some frequently asked questions documents regarding to the Minnesota Comprehensive Assessments. Student success, these are pieces of information that are geared towards students. Sometimes it's the same information under student success as it is under teachers or under parents. And these are options and things, places that they can find information. Now let's go to educator excellence. Probably one of the most important pieces here is professional development. And we are working to expand our professional development opportunities for teachers and making sure that we're posting information that has to do with best practices. So if I go to best practices, here you will find videos, presentations on job-embedded professional development and on teacher induction and mentoring. And we continue to expand this library as we do presentations, find them to be of use and high quality, and also get them captioned. Back under Educator Excellence again, we have our link to standards, curriculum, and instruction. And this is where you can get information on the K-12 academic standards. And you will find the arts, you'll find language arts, math, science. And this is a huge resource to our teachers, one that is heavily used. School support has a couple of important pieces. One, if you're looking for NCLB, you won't find it. What you need to look at is federal title programs, or ESEA. And this is where we find information on Title I, Title II, and Title III, and federal accountability programs. Okay. And here is parent notification on the NCLB flexibility waiver. Another important part in school support for you is school finance. Now, we have moved some pieces of school finance to be easier to find, and that's actually in the data center. Director Melcher and his staff worked with us to make sure that we could move these program finance spreadsheets that you often use to a place that's easy to access and easy to find the information in a timely fashion. There is a link here to the data center, but I'm going to take you the other way. Anything else important here? let's go to the data center, and this is really where we can spend the bulk of our time. There are five pieces under the data center. One we have already looked at, and that's at the bottom, and that's the MDE org. It's the same application that we saw under Welcome to MDE. Schools, districts, and teachers at a glance is just a quick statistical summary of education across the state of Minnesota. The biggest thing I would like to caution you on is that you need to read the subheadings, because sometimes it's 11-12 data, and then sometimes it might be a year behind. It just depends on when the data is collected and published. So our counts of public school districts and special school districts comes from the 11-12 school year. But if we go down, we note that the teacher data is from the 10-11 school year. We have total staff counts. We have enrollment counts. Again, this is a year behind because enrollment data is not published until the end of February. We have non-public enrollment information as well. And then each year we take a snapshot of this and we file it in the data center so you can go back and look at past year's statistical summaries. Working up from the bottom, we have maps. So if you take a look at a map, we have the same Find a School or Public Library that we saw under Just for Parents. It's also here. Let's say you want to know about home primary languages. So let's take a look at what we offer. We can find, let's look at Russian. Here are the primary home language counts for Russian students in the state of Minnesota. And you'll notice that the largest concentration is in Hennepin County. As the need arises, that division continues to create maps that concentrate on other home primary languages. We have expanded and added two this past year. We also have, if you need to know, what service cooperative a district may belong to. Ooh, that one didn't work. There we go. And so I clicked. Oh, it just went haywire on me. I went to service cooperatives, the XSU map. I'm starting, but doesn't want to come up.
You're still in maps.
Yeah.
Life is always a challenge. Something always goes haywire.
Service.
It is. So let's skip that one.
Service question.
And now talk about the two most important parts. Data for Parents and Educators is an interactive application that allows you to compare and contrast schools and districts against each other. Not against each other, but to each other. Sorry. Data reports and analytics are files, Excel files, and reports that you can generate. So let's start with data for parents and educators. And this is where I would like you to do some hands-on. If you ever have searched for the school report card, you will notice that that term is no longer on our website. The school report card has been replaced by data for parents and educators. So we have this entry page. What type of data do you want to look at? Do you want to know how students are performing academically on the Minnesota Comprehensive Assessments? Maybe you want to know about growth or about their graduation rate. Let's choose for today what type of student is enrolled. And you notice that our green buttons, we only have a for parents option on this page. There's nothing that prohibits a parent from looking at an educator page, and nothing that prohibits an educator from looking at a parent page. It's just in the amount of data that you want to display and the comparison options you want. I think of the parent page as high-level splash page information with little or no comparison options. And when I want to start comparing and digging deeper, then I go into the educator page. Okay, so that's the way that we look at this. So would you just please select for parents? There are a couple of features that you need to know about this. One, download the information that's displayed on this page only with any selections I've made. You can print this, and it will give you an option, and it'll come out as a nice PDF that you can save or project or use. The other important piece is this show details. If you look right now under my charts, I have no tables with counts or percents. Once I show my details, I can now easily see the counts and percents that correspond with the table. So we are looking at the 2012 student population. Again, this is another area that it's important to read those labels because the years roll at different times. And so when I hover over, I can see that in the state, 73.8% of our students are Caucasian. Right? I can look at my English learner counts, my special education, or my FRP. Now, if you're brand new to education, or parent just entering, or the public, and you don't know what some of these terms are, I'd really like you to scroll all the way to the bottom. Every one of these pages in Data for Parents and Educators have a minimum of three tabs. The first tab tells you what this report is doing. So we're talking here about demographics. Then there's a frequently asked question tab, and I can get an FAQ document. Not my map open. I can get an FAQ document that talks about enrollment, and those questions only relate to enrollment. So when you go to the assessment page, they're only questions directed at assessment. And then there's a glossary of terms as well. So if you don't know what FRP means, we have defined it there. We made sure that we went through this page very carefully from the eyes of somebody who's brand new to education and defined every term that's there. And this continues to be updated a couple of times a year. So what if I want to look at the enrollment in, I'm going to take my district, Stillwater. So I'm typing S to jump to the top of the S list. I need to scroll down a little bit. So I can look at the Stillwater School District, and I'm looking at all schools. Okay, so we have a total of 8,298 students. If I wanted to look at my daughter's school, that's Oak Park Elementary, I can do that. Now, what if I wanted to compare it to a neighboring district? And let's look at Matamidi. I can choose Matamidi on the right-hand side, and I could choose an elementary school. I'll choose Wildwood. And so now I can look at the enrollment between the two schools within these two different districts. I can also choose Stillwater on both the left-hand and the right-hand side, and I could look at two schools within the Stillwater district as well. And that's a very powerful tool when we are looking at assessment results. Before I let you try this, you do not need to go back to that main menu page. On the left-hand side, you notice our question, what type of student is enrolled? By choosing the arrow, you can toggle between all of those questions. So maybe you want to look at how they're performing academically. The nice part is it's going to remember what I've chosen. It'll remember that I have Stillwater Oak Park on the left-hand side and Matamidi Wildwood on the right-hand side. So as you notice, it kept my selections on the left. And we have Matamidi on the right. It dropped Wildwood for some reason. So why don't you try? I know that the chair wanted you to try this. So I'll give you a little bit of time.
Would you please tell us what we're trying?
I would like you to try making a comparison with one of your districts.
Thank you.
Hi, apologies. Okay. What if I don't know what school is in my district? ooh, there is this map feature right here, and you could type in your zip code, 56701, and, oh, Chief River Falls, and I could pick a school. So there are some search tools to help a parent or somebody in the public who's not sure what schools are close to them.
Ms. Sheridan, I notice as we're looking at this on the towards the bottom of the page, I see non-residents attending in this district, residents attending another district. Mm-hmm. I presume a person could look at the impact of open enrollment with those numbers.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Where is he seeing
Mr. Chair?
Representative Daphne.
I think I need a tutor.
Yeah, I know. I do too.
Yeah, yes, yes. Representative Bernardi has been left behind. I'm the kid who didn't get good preschool education and arrived here today behind already. But I do know my colors. Green is statewide. Red is my school district. Ms. Sheridan, are you trying to get us to be able to compare a school, two different schools? What I've succeeded in doing is coming up with a line graph of my school district on the left-hand page, and a bar graph, left-hand side of the page, and on the right-hand side, a bar graph that compares my school district overall, not individual schools, but overall, to the statewide averages. How am I doing?
You are doing very well.
Okay. Mr. Chair, if I may continue.
You may represent.
Is there a way to compare two different schools, your daughter's school, I think you indicated as a daughter, or your child's school, and my child's school, yours in Stillwater and mine in Minneapolis? Does that take an advanced degree?
Right. Ms. Sheridan?
It takes Tim Strom.
Yes, there you go.
So, Mr. Chair, if we can try, let's all go together.
Please.
On the left-hand side, let's clean everything out,
yes,
and select data for parents and educators on the left-hand navigation, and you'll come back to our question page. We want to select the first question, which is how are students performing academically?
It's still loading. Sorry.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
That's why we get left behind.
I'm sorry.
Members, there will be no members left behind in this committee.
Okay, so.
You want a bet?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Representative McDonald.
Thank you. I have a question for the testifier. If you have an iPad, this particular page needs flash. Is that correct?
Yep.
Is that that's what you're telling me?
And the answer is
so
yes.
So I'm left behind.
So yes.
Some new technology with this new iPad.
That's very good to know, Representative McDonald. Feel free to share with somebody else if your technology is not working this morning.
Yeah.
Mr. Chair,
Representative Woodard.
Thank you. And as we're downloading that, it's a good question with many of our students on iPads now and Macs coming into our schools, and even students being able to access this with the flash. Is there a plan in place to eliminate the flash so that we can get the Apple users to be able to see this data as well?
And at this time, I'd like to welcome Ms. Briner. Thank you for being here.
Thanks for having us, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. And Representative, yes, there is. It is, as you can imagine, undertaking this project, we started with 17,000 individual pieces of content and really had to think about the structure and the usability, and we brought in a lot of stakeholders to build the data center and the website. And as we were developing, technology changes faster than we do. And so We are now in the second phase, which is to look at the platforms and to make sure that tablet users, iPad users, all of the tools and technology out there will be able to access the information in the data center. It's not an easy project. As you can imagine, it's quite intensive, but that is ongoing as we speak. Our Director of Minute Services, Matthew Perret, is here too if you had any specific questions about where we're at in that process.
Thank you. Okay, Ms. Sheridan.
Did it load for everyone?
Yep.
All right. Please select the For Parents button.
Okay. For parents or just for parents?
Just, Ms. Sheridan, where are we going again?
Go back. So we have the first question, how are students performing academically selected?
Okay. So everyone select how are students performing academically, and then down below pick for parents.
For parents.
All right.
And
thank
please
you.
Let me know when the page loads.
Just a minute. I accidentally hovered over something.
Mr. Chair, could you hold up for me? I accidentally hovered over something.
There's one in every classroom.
And I know someone's going to raise their hand and say they have to go to the bathroom.
Okay, nurse.
How are students performing
academically? Yes, that's correct. And scroll down and hit
the All right. We are looking at the statewide trends on the graph on the left, and on the right-hand side, we are looking statewide at the percent proficient. You notice the graphs below are exactly the same on the left and the right for right now, and we see the ethnicity of tested students. So this is not your K-12 ethnicity counts. These are only the students who have taken the MCA test. And we notice math trends, science trends, and reading trends. One thing that causes concern is people say, oh, there's a sharp drop from 2010 to 11. There is a reason why, and if we scroll to the bottom, our tab information says new, more rigorous achievement standards in mathematics were implemented in 2011. For this reason, comparisons between the percentage of students who scored proficient in mathematics from 2010 to 2011 should be done only when keeping in mind the standards change from one year to the next. So as important information like that impacts what we're showing, this is where we will put that information.
Representative Breinhardt.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So when we open up the site, we see only the proficiency information. What about the growth data? And why doesn't that come up simultaneously?
Growth is displayed on another page. It's hard to put the two together.
Well, Mr. Chair, so how do you access the growth data? I mean, the assumption, the default here is the proficiency data, and that's what I'm asking about, is why is that the default?
Ms. Sheridan?
After I show you how to compare two different school districts, I will take you directly to the growth question.
Very good. Thank you.
So on the left-hand side, where it says statewide, choose whatever district you would like to look at. For the purpose of this demonstration, I'll choose Alexandria.
And I know, members, all of your districts are above average, but take a look at the data here as it comes forward.
Yes, on the left-hand side. My chart has now changed to show me trends for Alexandria. If we look at my right-hand side, again, I show percent proficient. I have statewide in green. I have the Alexandria Public School District in red. Now on my left-hand side, instead of all schools, I would like to select Carlos Elementary to make another selection. So you're looking at a specific school within your district. Now my trends are for Carlos Elementary, and Carlos Elementary has now been added to my bar graph on the right-hand side. This continues to expand. we are seeing that Carlos Elementary is above the state average. And we're also seeing that Carlos Elementary is performing better than the district. Now we can do the comparison option. On the right-hand side, where it says statewide, please select either another district, or you can select your same school district and look at a different school. I'm going to actually choose Annandale.
All right.
And now you notice that just my right-hand side has changed. But Annandale Public School District information has been added to my percent proficient table. And now I want to look at the high school. Yeah. Comparisons between unlike entities are not allowed. Wow. One of the decisions that was made was that we want to be comparing like groups of students. So it will not allow me to compare a K-6 school to a 9-12 high school because the standards are not the same. So I need to select something different. So I will select the elementary school. Now you notice I get a warning that Carlos Elementary has K-6 students and Bendix Elementary has PK-4. It will allow me to do the comparison because there are overlapping grades. But this warning message stays here. So now I see that Bendix Elementary is performing better than Carlos Elementary and the statewide average. I would like everybody to turn on the show details, please. Up here on the gold bar is show details. Under the download. As you look at the graph on the right hand side, you'll notice that there is a green line, and that's showing us where all students are. What we want to do now is compare some groups. So on the right hand side, you'll see where it says compare up to two groups. If you select that, I can say, show me the third graders. Now here's the trick. You have to unselect all students and show me the fourth graders. And then you need to click off the box. So click right in the white space to the left of the box. I get my warning message again. And now if you take a look statewide, third grade, which is the gold bar, and fourth grade, which is the black bar, are outperforming the statewide average.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Dabney.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ms. Sheridan, love a good bar graph, don't get me wrong, but line graphs are really what excite me. Is there a way to get overlaying line graphs on the left-hand side, or do I only get the bar graphs on the right-hand side to compare two different schools or districts, or the statewide average to something?
Ms. Sheridan.
The current design is that we only have bar graphs on the right-hand side.
Thank you.
But I will take it under consideration, bring it back to the team. Now, we're in the high-level report. What if you want to dig deeper? So we have two tabs. Here is a view for parents. You remember on that entry page we had the parent button? I would like you to select the view for educators. And please note that this page does take a little bit to load. It's pulling from multiple data sources.
Charles cheating.
Is long as you have the green spinner, we're doing well. There we go. If you notice now, my view has changed, and now here, we do have line graphs on both sides. It has remembered that I chose Alexandria Public School District on the left, at Carlos Elementary, and Annandale and Bendix Elementary on the right. And I am looking at trends, five-year trends, and I am looking at math, and it defaults to all accountability tests. So what if I want to just look at the MCA 2? I could choose that test. What if I wanted to look at reading? You can choose to a different subject. An example of the power of this one is when schools set goals. So they put in Stillwater and Oak Park, and they look at reading on the left-hand side and math on the left-hand side. You know, where do we need to make gains? Should we be setting reading goals when our reading scores are real high, or should we be looking at math? And so we can look at the same entity with two different subject areas on the same page. We also have the option to look at some specific subgroups of students. Now please note that we do not display cell counts under 10. So you might get a CTSTR, count too small to report, so you know that the group is under 10. So show me students who are, I'm going to say Asian Pacific Islander and male. Let's see what we get for a return. The other thing is, if there are no students, of course, you would see NA. So right here, Alexandria does have students who are Asian males, but the count is too small to report, so I know there's less than 10 students. Carlos Elementary in 2008, 9, 10, and 11 did not have any Asian male students, but they did have some in 2012. And again, you could find the definition of CTSTR in the glossary. I'm not going to open it just because I'm having trouble opening my PDFs, but there's this question mark button over here that says how to use this page. That is on every one of these reporting pages, and it is specific to the page you're looking at. It tells you how the comparison option works. It tells how to run the report and gives you more information. That was designed as a tool to help people and to help users. Every one of these report pages has a corresponding data file that can be found in the reports and analytics section. So if you go to the data center on the far right and hover over that, and I would like you to select data reports and analytics. This will bring you to a long topic ID page. We were looking at the assessment reports. So to find the corresponding files, we would look under accountability and assessment. And we want the fourth option, which is assessment and growth files. And if you select that, you will get a page with some drop-down options. So I can choose by test name. Maybe I want to look at the grad. And let's look at 2011. and I'm going to list my files. And you'll notice that we get 6 returns. To access the data file, I would just go over here and either select the Excel file or the tab file. Oftentimes, there are corresponding help files that tell you what the column headers are about, any additional information that you need to analyze this information. I do know that there are about 9,000 data files in the Reports and Analytics section currently. The best way to maneuver this is not to use your back button at this time, is to go back under the Data Center to Data Reports and Analytics. And I'd like to highlight a couple of pieces. One of the big pieces that you would need, if you scroll down halfway to the page, are the school finance reports and the school finance spreadsheets. Minnesota Funding Reports right now is where you can get P1 and P2, the financial and the expenditure and revenue report. This was designed with input from school business leaders. They have been very wonderful in helping us, and we've tried to make this user-friendly for them. You can either select one district at a time, so I'm going to choose Ada, and I would like anything for the 11-12 school year, or I could, if I'm, you know, somebody who manages data for multiple districts, I could enter up to 5 districts here. Now if I list my reports, I can see what is available to Ada at this time. They're really is an overabundance of data, and it just takes time to go through and find everything. Yeah. I'm going back to the main data reports and analytics page. The school finance spreadsheets used to be on the school finance web page, and we transitioned them all here. So the way to think of this is, when do I go under school support, school finance, or when do I go to the data center? If it is a file that is run year after year after year, then you will find it in the data center. If it is Director Melcher's presentation or a help document that he's created, that would be under school support and school finance. But we really want the reports and analytics section to be a place where you can find yearly data files. We were looking at enrollment, and we know that enrollment's very important. And the place, this is probably the most sought after file, so just so you know, if you scroll to the bottom of the reports and analytics page, you find the enrollment file under the topic student. And if I select my category as enrollment, and I list my files, here are all my enrollment files. There are two that we specifically get requests for, the ethnicity gender file and special populations file. Special populations file has English learner, special education, and free and reduced price lunch counts. If you just need the enrollment for your district, then you would go to the data for parents and educators enrollment page. But if you want all of the statewide data in one place, here's where you would go.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Dabney.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Sheridan, does MDE fracture out achievement data deeper than just the ethnicity levels that in other subgroups that are routinely identified that you just walked us through? But can we separate out those who are considered African-American, black or African-American, I think is the terminology, and fracture out those who are English language learners, say the Somali population that may be English language learners, from those who are not English language learners, so that we can compare from school from school to school and district to district performance with those subcategories, or similarly with Asian students or other ethnic groups, gender, divide up those different groups by gender so we can see who's doing the best job with African-American boys or with Latino girls, things like that.
In the assessment and growth files, so I went to data reports and analytics. I chose the assessment and growth files. And right here, the tab delimited file does include additional information for subgroups. So you can look at assessment results by the subgroup. So if I choose MCA, and I'll choose current year, 2012, what I would like to select then instead is the tab file. And so you save that to your desktop and open it with Excel, and then the assessment data would be there by subgroup. We are also able, in parents and educators, to do comparisons by subgroup once you're on that View for Educator page. I'll walk you through where that is. So if I, under the data center, choose data for parents and educators, the first question, how are students performing academically? Remember, this is the page that takes a long time to load, and for educators. So now when I say show students who are, I can choose my five ethnic groups and start to look at math trends by ethnicity or reading or by grade level.
Are you available for a small fee?
No.
Representative Reinert. Now, are these, I'm going to leave a good half hour for just general questions. Ms. Sheridan, before I get to Representative Reinert, how are we doing as far as your presentation overall? Is time left?
Mr. Chair, you're doing just fine.
Okay, are we getting, do you have much more, or did you? I mean, this has been wonderful, being able to look through all of this, and I'm hoping members will find time to go back and look at this a little bit and dig into it a little bit further. So are you ready for general questions on data and all sorts of things?
Yes, Mr. Chair, I am.
Very good. All right, Representative Reinert.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So, Ms. Sheridan, I'm wondering, you showed me where you can get to growth data, but I still have a concern that in the parent data, the default is proficiency alone, and I don't see the option for looking at proficiency and growth data simultaneously. So I'm wondering if that option exists on the site.
Ms. Sheridan?
Our growth data is a separate question. So if I look at how are students performing academically and I choose are students making expected growth, I now change the report page. So.
Okay. Representative Reinert.
Mr. Chair, yeah, I did find that option, but my concern is that we don't see the two bodies of data together, and I'm just wondering what the discussion was in the department around that separation, because when this data was presented under the report card, you could see both bodies of data together, and I think there's a significant policy issue in separating them, so I'm asking how that decision was arrived at.
Ms. Breiner?
Thank you, Chair Marquardt and Representative Breinert. When we had discussions about presenting the data, we had several things that we needed to consider. One was that Minnesota was applying for a waiver. And we knew that in our waiver system, we would be looking at four categories. We're going to be looking at proficiency, growth, graduation rate, and achievement gap. And so we wanted to very clearly make that information available to parents and educators. We also knew that we were required to provide the information that previously was on the report card. And we also had decision points to make respective to the technology and the platforms available and a consistent way to lay out the data. So I think that we always are struggling to find the sweet spot, and the website itself and the data center is considered dynamic. So we continue to look at how we present the data, and I think you raise a fair question about presenting the data side by side so that parents can look at proficiency and growth, and that's something that we certainly will as we continue to get comfortable with the waiver and really looking at the MMR data. We will certainly take that into consideration.
Representative Breinert.
Okay, just one follow-up. I know there's other questions, so I'm going to ask where the remainder of the data that's listed under report card statute is on here. The three measures, I see the growth data, but I don't see the other two.
They are also on
Ms. Breinert.
Mr. Chair, Representative Breinert, they are also on the data center. So each category that was previously on the report card, you also can, Ms. Sheridan is far more familiar with the specifics of the website and the large scope of it, but we can also look at data on the school support page specific to the MMR to make some, I think, more revealing comparisons.
Representative Quam.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I was wondering, do you have any access to a fuller list of attributes for when you're doing these sort of a mini query here, or do you have to do that from the secured reports? And if not, is there a accessibility to generate your own queries to extract combinations for analysis?
Ms. Sheridan.
You can do that, those types of queries, using Excel, and the files that we find in reports and analytics. It's just knowing where to find the different files. So assessment and growth results are here. Multiple measurement results would be here in the multiple measurement files. And then you would also need to have the student information, such as student enrollment files here.
Representative Quam.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. But looking at these files, it appears as if they have a subset of the attributes for analysis, just as when you've got your graphical interface set up, it's a subset. There are other details given in reports that boil down, you know, for more, a larger base of your attributes and a larger list. So that I know that there are several representatives have brought up queries about different combinations to better understand why districts on a higher level appear to be a similar makeup, but the results are different with, you know, graduation rates, achievement gap, and we think that maybe it might be some combination of a couple different attributes. In order to do that, we'd need to have the global, a more global set of attributes. And when I've gone through these reports, they've already been trimmed down, so to speak. And so, again, it'd be nice to understand the full list of attributes you've got in your database so we at least know what capability we have for analyzing and trying to get a better picture of what we can do to assist the students, and then you know, be able to either request reports or generate them ourselves.
Ms. Breinert?
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Representative. As I think I'm hearing your question, you're wondering if, for example, you could look at performance of Hispanic females with learning disabilities and how they compare to state averages. Is that correct?
Representative Quam.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. That and districts, because we have some very successful districts with, on the face, identical population makeup, students of districts that have challenges. So is it just that we're not looking at the right combination to understand, or is it because there's a better technique? Data's great, and you've got a huge amount of data. However, if we've got a lot of people looking at that data in different ways, we can maybe come across some understanding that will help the students. And you've got free and reduced, you've got other aspects. I know that I've been on a school board, and I know some of the lists of attributes, and you're just scratching the surface here. And I know with data privacy, your CTSRT is probably because once you get below a certain amount, it's a data privacy issue because a parent in that district could guesstimate an individual student's. So I'm just wondering how we can have access so that we can help understand and then do a better job of legislating to assist the students of the state.
Ms. Briner.
Mr. Chair and Representative, so the simple answer to your question is yes, we can do that. So if you go back to the data center, and Ms. Sheridan is trying to load it as we speak, but you can self-select different categories and combinations to make comparisons, either to the state averages, district by district, or even school by school. So we do have that capability to look at the data in a number of different ways, because the point of the data center is to really allow people to take as deep a dive into this information as they feel the need in order to inform their decisions, whether they're policymakers or teachers trying to figure out how to instruct students better. So as you see, Ms. Sheridan brought it up, and I will defer to her to lead you through the technical parts of it. But you can choose from a menu of options to make your comparisons.
And Representative Quam, if I'm understanding you, what you're trying to get at is you might have two school districts with roughly the same demographics, and one's doing very well and one's not doing so well. So what is the school district that's doing well doing? Kind of looking at best practices where you could find things that work. Is that what you're saying, if I understand that correctly?
Mr. Chair, that is part of that, but the this is not the full list of attributes. So you don't have there are attributes up there that you take data on and aren't selected. So that when we get testimony on results and pilot projects and that, being able to understand. So is there a larger? Can you click on something and now you've got 30? Different combinations you can choose from? I know this doesn't include all the different selections you possibly could. And that's what I was getting to, is there access to a fuller range of categories?
Ms. Briner.
Chair and Representative, I think that the attribute list that you see can be combined in any number of ways, but there's not a longer list of attributes that's hidden or an expanded menu that's available.
Representative Quam, do you have an example, for example, of an attribute that would not be up there that you would like to see?
I think, Chairman Jim, you had a couple that in your question at a previous that would help differentiate. I think part of it not all African Americans or blacks are within the same one.
Yeah, Representative Daphne.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Representative, yeah, trying to break out for we put all people of African ancestry into the same category, and yet you've got African Americans who have lived here for generations, and in Minneapolis you've got Somali kids who came from Kenya 2 years ago. And those are very different populations with very different educational experiences and challenges, and yet for the purposes of reporting, we put them all together, which isn't actually helpful for understanding either achievement or understanding best practices for those different populations. So there's, I think, an example. And then, you know, layering in special education students within those populations and the like would make it even more complex.
Thank you. Yes, okay, thank you. Ms. Briner?
And that, thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Dabney and Representative Plum. That's very helpful. And the answer to that question is that data is reported to us by the five ethnicities that you see. So it is not reported broken out by special populations. It is broken out, for instance, with English language learners. You can see the maps that give you a little bit of information about home language. But as far as ethnicity, the data is reported to us in that way, and that's what we have available.
Okay, I think we'll take one more question here on this point.
If I may, Representative Plum, Mr. Chair, thank you. So does that mean that at this point the department does not have the ability to identify that Muhammad is both black or African-American and an English language learner?
Ms. Briner, Ms. Sheridan?
By the student level.
Ms. Briner.
Representative, we do by the student level. I may have to defer to Ms. Graff, who is with our school support division, to speak to some of that.
Mr. Chair, for the purposes of the committee, I appreciate the indulgence. Maybe we need a long, slow, repeated conversation in my office, and maybe Representative Quam would be interested in this as well, rather than take up more committee time to see what data is reported to the department, what data the department holds, how it's available for reporting, and related questions. Thank you, Mr. Chair. And
thank you. Ms. Graff, did you want to come down and say anything?
Mr. Chair.
Yeah, Ms. Briner.
I think what we're talking about is for accountability purposes. So when we are talking about federal accountability, we're reporting out by the ethnicities that you see on the data center. I think that when we are looking at individual students, we have the ability to look closer, and Ms. Graff could probably make that distinction about when and where and how that information is most useful.
Okay. we'll move. Very good. Representative Erickson.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm just wondering when we're going to move to Ms. Graff so we can talk about turnaround schools. Because okay. I've been wandering around looking at mine, and I have some questions.
Okay. Ms. Graff, if you would come to the table, please. And Ms. Graff, if you would identify yourself for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. I'm Stephanie Graff from the Minnesota Department of Education.
Thank you. Go ahead, Representative Erickson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Ms. Graff, I'm looking at one of my schools and looking at multiple measurement ratings. And I'm wondering, to what extent have you been able to reconcile the old measurements that we used to the multiple measurements in these trend lines? Because it seems to me we're comparing apples and oranges when we look at this improvement, unless you have built in specific ways to compare.
Okay.
Ms. Graff.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Representative Erickson. So when we're looking at multiple measures, we're looking at four measures, as Ms. Briner said earlier, okay? First, we can just talk about proficiency. And when we look at the proficiency domain of the multiple measurements rating, the MMR, we're looking at the same proficiency index that we've been looking at under AYP for years.
Yes.
So actually, it's an apples to apples there. We're talking about students that are partially proficient are worth a half of a point. Students that meet standards or exceed standards are worth 1 point. We have our targets there. Now, our targets in the proficiency domain have changed. Our targets now are based on reducing the achievement gap by half by 2017. They're not 100% proficient by 2014. But when we're looking at proficiency under our previous system and our current system, we're actually looking at the same thing. We're comparing the same. We can then move to the growth.
Yes.
Okay, then we can move to the growth domain. And we're actually looking at a very similar growth measure here as well. We're calculating growth in the exact same way. What we're not doing in the multiple measurements rating is looking at proficiency and growth. We're not looking at the Minnesota growth model. We're looking at proficiency and growth together because we have a proficiency domain in the MMR. It's a part of this whole system. So when we're looking in the growth domain, we're looking at only the growth of students. And we're looking at the growth of all students in the growth domain. And then we can move to the achievement gap reduction domain. And here we're looking at the growth of our lower performing students and how they're comparing to our higher performing students at the statewide level. And now that is something that is a completely new measure that we haven't used in the past. Proficiency we've used in the past, growth we've used in the past. And then graduation rates is the fourth domain. And our graduation rates, they have changed, but they haven't changed. It's an important note to make that they have not changed because of the multiple measurements rating. They have not changed because of our NCLB flexibility waiver. They've changed because in 2008, the federal government put in place some new regulations as to how we're going to calculate graduation rates. So now we're looking at a four-year cohort of students. We're looking at students that enter, and I'm going to go deeper here because I know this was a question that was asked yesterday. We're looking at students that enter ninth grade in the school. Okay, and over the course of 4 years, we're adding transfers into that school, we're taking transfers out of that school, and we're adding to the cohort if they come in, and we're removing from the cohort if they come out. And then at the end of 4 years, we're looking at the percentage of students that graduated on time, and we call four-year graduation rate our on-time graduation rate. And we take our graduates, and we divide that by our graduates, the number of students that dropped over the 4 years in the cohort, the number of students that are still continuing on for various reasons. They may be continuing on after 4 years. We look at the number of unknowns, and in the past, we haven't looked at unknowns. So it's really important for districts now, more than ever, to be tracking their students, because we had some students falling through the cracks, and they were these unknowns, and now they do count in our graduation rate. So that's a little bit of, a bit about how our graduation rate has changed. But with regards to the measures, we really are comparing apples to apples. We're just looking at it in a different way.
Representative Erickson.
Thank you. So what does the focus rating indicate?
Good question.
Ms. Graff.
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
And perhaps I'm ahead because you're probably not all looking at turnaround schools, but because I have two or three of them, I have been. So I'm curious about this.
Absolutely, Mr. Chair, Representative Erickson, thank you. The focus, the multiple measurements rating is based on the four domains, right? And it includes all students, and it gives a really comprehensive picture of how a school is doing, okay? And then we have the focus rating, and we call that the FR for short, just like we call it the MMR. And the FR is really focused on the achievement gap. And it's focused on identifying those schools in the state that are contributing most to our statewide achievement gap. So in the focus rating, we have only two domains, okay? And each school in the state gets a focus rating as well, as long as they have adequate student numbers. The first domain in the focus rating is called focused proficiency. And when we're looking at focused proficiency, we're looking at only proficiency of our lower performing subgroups, okay? So we're not looking at a school's proficiency of white students, and we're not looking at the school's proficiency of all students, okay? Because those are two of the nine AYP groups. We're only looking at the proficiency of the seven lower performing subgroups. I can list them. There are four minority subgroups. We have Hispanic, African American, Asian Pacific Islander, and
American Indian.
And American, thank you, American Indian. And then we have our three student populations that receive special services, special education, ELL, and free and reduced price lunch, okay? So we're looking at the proficiency of just those students, and we're looking at whether those student subgroups are meeting their proficiency targets under AYP, okay? The second domain, then, is the same achievement gap reduction domain that we have in the MMR. It's identical. There's no change there. And that is the only domain that's the same between the two ratings. When we're looking at the achievement gap reduction domain, we're still looking at those same seven lower performing subgroups, but we're looking at growth in this domain, okay? So we're looking at the growth of those subgroups as compared to the statewide growth of their higher performing counterparts, okay? And the expectation is that those subgroups would be growing at the same rate or preferably at a faster rate than their higher performing counterparts. When we're making these comparisons, we're comparing the four minority subgroups in a school to the statewide white group and their growth. And again, we want to see faster rates of growth from our four minority subgroups as compared to the statewide white growth. We're comparing our special education student growth in a school to the statewide non-special education growth. And so you can see how these kinds of comparisons are made in order to close the gap, because we know this is a gap between minority students and white students at the state. We know it's a gap between free and reduced price lunch students and, you know, students that are not living in poverty across the state. And so that's how we're working to close the gap. But the focus rating does include both proficiency and growth, but only for the lower performing subgroups.
And finally, Mr. Chair.
Representative Erickson.
Ms. Graff, is the focus rating, as I'm looking at here, from 10 and 11 been reconciled to meet the same standard as you're using for the 12?
Ms. Graff?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Erickson. It is the same. It's the same measure. Our initial focus rating results came out last spring, 2012. And those were, they were our initial results. They were based on 10 and 11 data. And then we had our 2012 results came out in August, and those were based on 11-12 data. And there is no change between the years. And what will come out this year after the 12-13 school year will be the exact same measure. So it'll be very simple to see trends among the years.
And finally, Mr. Chair.
Representative Erickson.
Parents do understand all of this, as far as you know, parents students in these schools, so that they know that, you know, you have reconciled.
Ms. Graff.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Representative. Yes, we are doing our darndest to get out to as many audiences as possible. So I'm happy to be here today and happy to take any, you know, questions either today or as we move forward here from you all. I do speak to parents on a daily basis. I speak to teachers very often. I speak to school administrators, district level administrators, various community members. And so the goal here as we move forward is to continue to educate our public and be as transparent as possible. Modify our message for our various audiences as well to make sure that everybody understands and it's useful for whatever they need to know it for. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Representative Hertas.
Thank you, Chair Marquardt. While we've been having this in-depth discussion about some of these issues, I've been perusing, exploring the site, and I've discovered that we have some password-protected web pages. Are we as legislators going to be able to establish an account to get to some of that information?
Who would like to answer that question? Good question. Ms. Briner.
Chair Marquardt and Representative, the password-protected sites that you see are for MDE staff for secured reports. So there may be reasons, and I think Ms. Sheridan could probably speak to some of them, but there are secured reports that are not necessarily useful for the public or have data privacy attached to them.
Ms. Sheridan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. These reports are designed for internal MDE use and for school and district administrative use as well, and it requires superintendent permission, and it does show small cell counts, student cell counts, yes.
Okay, thank you.
You bet. Thank you. Representative Woodard.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I would like to start off by saying I find this information to be very useful, and I think you have done a remarkable job of putting it in a format that certainly I can understand, and I think it may be a good reason why we should take a look at the committee rules about not having laptops with us, because it certainly is, you know, an area I think as we hear testimony that, you know, our ability to research some of this as we go, as we talk, is certainly very powerful. And I know we often wait for the spreadsheets to come out so we can look at this data, and really the data is at our fingertips. And so I really appreciate all the hard work that you've done on that. I would just make two comments on recommendations on what I would look at, or what I would ask that you look at. One is, and you've already remarked on this, but the ability for the Apple users to be able to use this, I think, is really important, especially for the younger generation, for the Jerry Hertas generation, the younger folks who Representative Hertas and his generation, their ability to use their Apple. And, of course, Representative McDonald with his iPad over there that he'd have the ability to access. And then secondarily, just to follow up a little bit on what's already been said, and I just want to kind of capsulize it. It's great data for us because we like to get into the details. And there may be a few more details that Representative Davenport would like to see and Representative Quam. But the thing that concerns me is the parents and the children themselves who want to be able to see this more on a higher level and be able to understand it. We understand it because we've been here a long time, or some of us have been here a long time, and have heard this over and over and over, and it starts to gel in your mind, this is what this means. I'd love to see us to be able to have more of a report card that says, here's exactly, you know, red, yellow, green kind of mentality, a dashboard mentality of what each school looks like, so that a parent can look at it and it's very, very easy for them to understand. I know that may be tougher to do than it is to say, but, you know, some of our brightest education minds, like Representative Davenport in this state, is kind of struggling with how to make this, you know, all work. And so if we're struggling a little bit, then obviously our parents and students must be a little confused by it. So just to wrap it up, I love it. I think it's really good data in a very format that I certainly can understand and like very much, and I appreciate that. But just if you could look at those two things, I think that would be would certainly take it to the next level. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative McDonald.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As I was trying to find, go back to the home site, I would echo some of what Representative Woodward mentioned about the Apple users, and perhaps a call to action. And is there a certain date? So a couple of questions. A certain date that we can anticipate something so we can hold something to the fire? So we can anticipate that. For example, my home school of Watertown, Minnesota, they're all Apple. Now all Apples. And then the city council, my father, before he died just this past year, the city council themselves went to the Mac, the iPad as well. So to have this data at not only the fingertips of our educators, our students, our parents, and city councils is a great knowledge. And, of course, we can do great things. God bless you. With the data.
Excuse me.
You're welcome. I hope that wasn't breaking protocol. So one, I want to see if I can have a response as to a date that we can anticipate and share that with our families and colleagues and cities. Then also, how long have we been collecting this data and witnessing the achievement gap? And has the gap then, because we have this data and we can understand it and dissect it and disseminate it, has that achievement gap gotten reduced or greater with our knowledge as we understand it?
Ms. Briner, two questions. When can Representative McDonald start seeing this information? And number two, what are we doing with the achievement gap with the statistics that we now have?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Representative. I will defer to Matthew Porrett to give you a timeline if there is a certain timeline, because as you know, when you are working with technology platforms, sometimes there's a little bit of time involved. So I'll let him speak to that. But as to the data and what it shows us about Minnesota's achievement gap, I think that it's fair to say we've been looking at data differently since No Child Left Behind was implemented, and we started to get a picture of how our subgroups of students are doing in particular. And so if nothing else, No Child Left Behind was very useful in really disaggregating that data and giving us a clearer picture of how particular groups of students are doing. That said, with more than a decade of No Child Left Behind in place, we haven't seen Minnesota's achievement gap narrow significantly. In fact, it's arguably one of the worst in the nations. We are very hopeful. We've set a very ambitious, but we believe achievable goal of narrowing the achievement gap by 50% within 6 years with Minnesota's new waiver. We understand that it is aggressive, but we believe that the policies and the strategies that we have put in place and the way that we are looking at holding schools accountable for achievement gap progress, their progress in closing achievement gaps, we are optimistic that we will see some significant movement within the next 5 years. We've had the waiver since February of 2011, and we are quite hopeful that we will start to see some movement on some of these trends in an upward trajectory. And
And Representative McDonald, that's an excellent question, and it would be nice at a later date for the department to come in and talk about all the efforts from the department and new direction that is geared towards hitting that goal of reducing the achievement gap by 50% in another 5 years. It'd be nice to just see what's all in place right now, because, again, from what I've heard from this committee, this is going to be a major goal, to closing the achievement gap, and how can we direct very valuable and scarce resources into doing that.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I speak for the entire department to say that we would be happy to share with you the work that we've been doing for 2 years, and we would be happy that you would look favorably from your perspective to provide whatever support you deem is appropriate to those efforts. As far as timeline, because I'm an iPad user myself and I get a little frustrated that I have to turn on my laptop to use some of this information.
If you would please identify yourself.
Matt Brett, CIO for Education. Mr. Chairman, Representative McDonald, the point of clarification, the data center works on all Apple platforms except the iPad. Apple made the decision not to support Flash on the iPad. That's a decision that I didn't support, but
we would like names of those who would.
I came to education about a year ago, and this was launched just after I got there, and we've kind of been refining it and looking at different ways to bring the data. I don't have a date certain for you as to when it will be available on the iPad, but we are converting to HTML5, which will enable that. I hope to have that done by calendar year end.
Representative McDonald.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. Thank you for that. So, just for fun, our achievement gap is grand, and we identified we have a huge problem. And by 6 years, we're going to shorten that. So with that in mind, we have a timeline on that. We just hope that the conversion to the iPad HTML won't be that long as well, because that's a smaller problem than the achievement gap, of course. But thank you for your response.
Thank you. We have time for one more question. Representative Grunhagen.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Chair. For Charlene Briner, when No Child Left Behind, they had a report card that I found easily understandable, both for parents and for the public in general, and they had a grading system as far as the different school district or different school buildings and districts, and they also had discipline problems, I think, was a part of that No Child Left Behind report card. That is no longer available, though. I know you touched on it lightly. Is that correct?
Ms. Briner?
Mr. Chair, there is information that is reported to the department about discipline, particularly about suspensions and expulsions, and you can find those reports on the data center as well. And if I may, I understand that data is a complex thing to look at. Our goal really is to make it accessible to as many audiences as possible. What we have heard from parents, we have spoken to many groups over the course of the last year and a half. Parents can find comparisons that allow them to make good decisions for their children. And that is our goal, to really provide information about their schools if a parent is moving from Robbinsdale to Roseville. How are the schools doing? What would be a good area? We've gotten information from realtors that they are using a data center in their work. And so we have multiple audiences, and we definitely will take your comments into consideration as we continue to work to make this information even more accessible.
Mr. Chair, just a quick follow-up.
Representative Grunhage.
I didn't mean so much to zero in on the discipline as a fact. It was just a matter of comment of having looked at those report cards. Is that report card available anymore? That No Child Left Behind report card that used to be available on the Minnesota Department of Education website.
Ms. Briner.
I think that the school report card that you are referring to does not exist in that format, but all of the information formally available on the school report card is in the data center.
Well, and Mr. Chair,
Representative Grunhage, I think let's we're right. I want to finish here on time. If
okay.
we could take this offline,
I'll
would
ask
that
her.
Be okay, Representative Grunhage?
That's fine.
Very good. Just a couple things. First of all, members, thank you so much for bringing the laptops. And Representative Woodard brought up an excellent point. The reason why it's in the rules not to bring the laptops would be just if you were using it for other things, and it would be distraction, and if you've got testifiers and you're doing something else, the public perception. So, members, if you're going to be using or need something for the data that may be coming up, feel free to bring, by all means, your laptops. That's certainly, it's mainly, you know, they used to bring newspapers years back. People used to read newspapers at meetings, and you've got the public here and so forth and so so bring your laptops if you need data during the course of the meeting. And also, just to focus your attention on the next meetings down below on the agenda here, if you can look at kind of a roadmap of where we're going. And department, thank you. Just a fantastic work that you've done here with this data center, and it's going to provide us with a lot of the tools to move forward for our students. So. Thank you. We Representative Woodard.
Just a quick note of clarification. On the joint hearing, do you know where that will be yet?
Yes, Chair? Representative Woodard, that will be here.
Okay, thank you.
Yes. Members, thank you. We are adjourned.